and she lived for another 30 years. Eventually she passed away from this machla, but it helped helped her for 30 years. Okay. So the same thing as the, like, you know, it's with the there's a tumult in some places about vaccination. Doctors say that you should vaccinate a child, and some people claim that it causes problems. And so, I mean, if there's known problems that it causes, so then in this child, so then you should not take it. But if there's no known problems, then the doctor says you should take it. There may be some people who claim to know better than the doctors, even though they have no medical background, and they say that it's very bad. So you go after the doctors. The doctors say that you should have it, so you should have it. So Bekitsa is that we don't go with the health guidelines of the Shmias HaGavot Pia Teva according to the Kitsa, but we go according to what the doctors of today say.
If you don't know that the doctors say otherwise, should you just
do it? Yeah, if you don't know that they say otherwise, you can do it. Can one make ice on Shabbos? That's a good question. I asked Moshe Feinstein this question, if you'd like to make ice on Shabbos. The question is, because is that considered Nailad? You're making a liquid into a solid. So maybe that's considered Nailad. On the other hand, you're not really, like it says in the Mishnah, Imaraskim Sashavas Avbara, do you know how to take snow or hail, basically ice, and rub it in your hands and make it into a liquid. Because you're changing its consistency from a solid to a liquid, so that's considered nylon. I will nicely say a kais. Without putting into a kais, the ice or the snow without putting into a kais of water, because when it melts, it's not so noticeable that you've changed anything because there was water there before. You can put it into empty kais. You put it into a kais that has water in it, so it melts in the water, and that's butter. So we only see from this Mishnah that you're not allowed to merasik be a dime. But what happens if you just put it into a warm place and then eventually it would melt? Is that considered also? Maybe it's just a Brahma or whatever, it doesn't say that. So as Moshe Feinstein this question, he says, in Europe, we used to make ice all the time. So I said, how did you make ice in Europe? You had no freezers, so how is it possible to do that? He says, we put the water outside the window in the winter, and it became ice. Okay, can one use the magic slush-making machine on Shabbos? I'm not sure what that is. It's a cup that one fills with a drink and places two frozen bags of salt water into it. Then a lid is put on the cup, and the cup is then shaken rigorously for a few minutes, thereby transferring the cold of the frozen salt water into the surrounding drink, causing it to take on a slushy consistency. The salt water melts in the process. So you take the frozen bag of salt water into it, and I assume that you that these bags of salt water, they don't mix in to the drink. They just like in the plastic that it stays inside. So so if you have to shake it, and then the salt water melts, I would think that means that you are making a solid into a liquid, be a dime, by shaking it. That you can't do.
Pardon? Is it
It is. You don't need the water in it. But you need it to melt. If it doesn't melt, I mean, the whole reason why it melts is because, when once you're trying to get the coldness out of the salt water and put it into the drink. So you want the cold to come out of it, and the water has gone off. If there's a bris after the davening, should one stay for it? Can one learn or talk during the bris? If you're not invited, you don't have to stay for it.
I thought you're not allowed to invite people to a bris.
Okay. So if you're not invited, you don't have to stay for it. If you were not invited, then you should stay for it. Does that answer your question?
We're only talking about the sooner or the
In other words, you're not supposed to invite people to bris. So you just say there's going to be a bris. So you're not invited. So then you should stay for the bris. But if you were not invited at all, no one said there's going to be a bris, so then you could leave. Can one talk
at the yeshiva? Are we considered invited or not? Like, not invited or not invited?
If they didn't not invite you, then you're not invited.
What about learning at the bris?
Huh?
What is the rest about learning at the bris?
Learning at the bris? Can one learn or talk during the bris? Do you have the same question by a chasna?
Yeah.
During the chuppah?
Yeah.
If no one else is learning, so then you should not learn. If no one else is talking, you should not talk either.
Can you sit at the bris?
By yamad kol ha'am b'bris. It says they're supposed to stand during the bris.
Do they stand right when the baby comes in the room?
Probably start standing at that point. The only ones allowed to sit is the sandik. He's allowed to sit during the bris.
What if
there's
a sign?
Hmm?
What if there's a sign that says
going
to be a bris? Is that considered being violated?
What is the purpose of that sign? That you shouldn't say tachma by mistake? I mean, who put up the sign? The gabbai?
Probably Aviben.
Pardon?
I think the Aviben would put it
up. The Aviben puts it? So if the Aviben puts it, so then, I don't know what's kavanah is. Kavanah people shouldn't say tachna, or the kavanah is that people should stay for the bris. If the kavanah is people should stay for the bris, then you are. You could stay. But I'm not sure that he wants everyone to be there. Not sure about that. If the yeshiva doesn't allow cooking utensils in the dorm, is it gezel to use them? So, if they don't allow it, they have a right to say, we only let you stay in the dorm if you listen to our rules. They say that. So it's like if you go over the speed limit. If the government says, you only have a right to use our roads if you abide by the speed limit. So you're using their property without rishus, using the property of the road without rishus. Now you see there's a other side over here. If the yeshiva doesn't allow you to cook utensils, you don't allow cooking utensils in the dorms, and you do, and the yeshiva says on that basis, well, I don't give you any right to use the rooms. The question is, do you have to pay for the dorm? If they don't give you permission to use it, how can they charge you for being in the dorm if they don't give you permission to use the dorm? Okay, so you following what I'm saying? So the yeshiva, if we're going to say, the yeshiva says, if you bring cooking utensils into the dorm, I don't give you permission to be in the dorm. So if you have cooking utensils there, you have no right to be there. So can the yeshiva charge you for being in the dorm, if they